give you a little report on our website. Our classes, you know, just begin here. Last month we had 33,084 visitors on Discover the Word with Dr. Jim and Study the Word with DrJim.com. We had 11,095 downloads from them. The sermon audio had 118,305. So they're really liking us out there. This last month, for some reason, they like me in America more than they did the rest of the world. China is red, all right? And that's we had about a third of the downloads from America. So that's pretty good. So all of you are part of this, all right? All of you are part of this ministry. And it's pretty neat to be reaching worldwide like that and touching so many lives out there. I hear from them. You don't hear from them very often. But I hear from them all the time. They have a million questions and everything all the time. Chris, since you have such a good suntan, you want to come up here and lead us in prayer to begin with. My neighbor.
Dr. Jim,
yes.
Can I make a comment here first?
Yes.
I spent a lot of time in other parts of the world, in really, really bad parts of the world, and this type of ministry presentation was the only thing I had. At night, when I would close my bedroom door with a 1-inch bars that I locked from the inside, but being able to listen to the ministry on a little shortwave at that time, I couldn't have made it without it. And a lot of us in that nasty type country, Nigeria.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's really important.
Yeah. This is what they've. It's a lot of. We have a lot of downloads in the Middle East, in the untouchable countries, behind the Christian bars.
Heavenly Father, we just come to you tonight, Lord, and we just praise you, Lord, for the ministry of Dr. Jim, Lord, and for the outreach that it's getting in all over the world and how it's touched thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of hearts and lives, Lord, and that is your power at work, Father, and I just thank you for that, Lord, and I pray for tonight that you'll open our hearts and our minds and people out there that are listening and seeing it, Lord, that you'll just bless them tonight with your word and that they can understand and learn more about you. We ask this in your son Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Now we're on 9 and 33. Is that where we finished last week? Is that it? 9:33. Okay, so far, last week we studied, does God hear the prayers of sinners? Of course he does, because we would not be saved ever if we didn't hear the prayers of sinners. And we looked at the blind man that had been healed. He was born blind. And we see the Pharisees and the scribes just interrogating him terribly. They were threatening to kick him out of the synagogue. And then he started quoting them. And remember, that's where I said last week, you know, where it says, we know that God doesn't hear the prayers of sinners. And, of course, he was quoting what he had been taught in the synagogue and all of this. He was quoting the Mishnah and the Talmud, not the Word of God, basically. Well, anyway, we go on, and now is where we are right now. 9 and verse 33. Ain, Kutos, Para, Theu, Uk, Adinatel, Poyain Udain. Now they're trying to say that, or the blind man and the Pharisees are debating here. And he said, since not, he continues to be this one from God, not is able to do nothing. He's not able to do anything. And then 9 and verse 34 says, Apokritheson, Kai, Apon, Auto, N, Harmartias, C, Eganathes, Holos, Kai, C, Didaskes, Himas, Kai, Ek, Balon Auton Exo. And they answered and they said to the blind man. Okay? Now he said, if he was such a terrible sinner, how could he do the miracles? Okay? And then this is what they say to him. And they answered, they caught up in speech to him, and they said to him, in sins you were born. Now remember, if you were poor, if you were blind, if you were sick, as far as the Mishnah and the Talmud and the Jews were considered, you know, what they thought is that you were a terrible sinner or your mother and father were. Remember the book of Job. The whole book of Job is about this subject. And they were in the same state of mind as they were in the book of Job. Job, you're a bad guy because you're sick. You're a bad guy because your wife got killed and your kids got killed. You're a horrible sinner. Good happens to bad people. Bad happens to good people. The sun shines on the wicked and the good, and it rains on the wicked and the good. That's just the way it is. All right? You were born in sin entirely. You were born blind, so somebody had to be doing terrible things in your family. Your mother and your father were horrible. Maybe your mother was a harlot. Maybe you were born really out of wedlock, not with your real father. Something happened here. You were born in sin. It's your fault. You're blind. Okay? And you teach us? You're trying to teach us? And they threw him out outside the synagogue. He's gone. He's 86. He is excommunicated. Now that's what happens to him. Who was blind here? They were blind. Not the blind man. The blind man could see. The blind man was a type of what they were before he was healed. Okay? 935. Akusin, Jesus, Hote, Eke Balon, Alton, Exo, Kai, Euron, Alton, Epain, Alto, C. Pistues, Ace, Ton, Huion, Tu, Anthropu. And he heard Jesus that they had thrown him out. They had excommunicated him. They had absolutely run him out of the religion. He was excluded from the fellowship of the synagogue, and his mother and father were. They didn't want to have anything to do with him. Why was this man so important to the Pharisees and the priests and the scribes? What was so important about this man? Remember when we started on this subject, we went back to the Old Testament, and it said that the Messiah King would heal the blind. And this is a messianic credential that is only messianic. Only the Messiah would heal the blind. People in the Old Testament were raised from the dead. People in the Old Testament, lepers were healed. All kinds of diseases in the Old Testament were healed, but no one was ever healed that was born blind. But now we have the messianic credential. Now they have to. What they had to do when he went to the synagogue, they had to give him a sign, a signed piece of paper. A scribe had to write it down that he was healed from his blindness, and now that God had forgiven whoever it was for any sins they had committed. And they did not want to do it. They would not do it. Because if they had given him this writ, this paper, it would say that this was the Messiah. And they did not want to do it. They would not do it. Okay? And now Jesus heard that they had cast him outside, and having found him, he said to him, You believe in the Son of the Man. Do you believe in the Son of Man? What's he actually saying here? They knew what the book of Enoch talked about. They knew what Genesis 3:15 is. What is Jesus reminding this person of? Do you believe that the Messiah is coming? And do you believe in the Son of Man, the Son of Woman, as the book of Enoch called him? Do you believe this? Now let's see what he says, 9 and verse 36. Apokrite, ekinos, kai epen, kai tis esten, kyrie, kina, pistiuso, eis auton. And he answered that one, and he said, now look at that word, ekinos. All right? Ekinos is tuto, tuto is this one right here. Ekinos is that one over there. Okay? They're both demonstrative pronoun, but its location is the difference in the two words. Okay? He answered that one over there, and he said, who is this Messiah, this Son of Man, Lord? Look at how he addresses him, Kyrie. In Hebrew, what would that be? Adonai, or Jehovah. All right. He knew that he was a very important person, but he doesn't exactly know everything. He just started seeing. Just recently, and ever since he's been able to see, he's been under interrogation. And he's also been kicked out of his local assembly and excommunicated. Who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him? All right? That I may believe. Look at that word, ace, out tone there. Ace. That's extension, limitation, thought, or verbal action. Montana, you've got to remember that one. That's very important. That will carry you through many difficult biblical interpretations, ace. Okay? In him, through him, and beyond. How may I believe in him all the way to eternity, all the way to heaven? That's what it means right there. Okay? 9 and verse 37 now. 9 and 37. A pain. Auto hoesus. Kai urakos. Auton, kai ho lalon, meta su ekinos esten. And he said to him, the Jesus. Look at this now. I want to teach you a little English while we're here. Okay? This is a real simple way to do it. What case is the nominative case in Greek? What case is that? What case is the nominative case? Nominative, genitive, oblative, locative, instrumental, dative, accusing, and vocative. What case is that?
Possession.
That's the case of subject. This is the one that's acting. Look at here. Hoesus there. Ho is the definite article, and that's nominative, singular, masculine, definite article. So here we have the subject. Real easy, you can tell in Greek who's the subject. Simple. All right? Now the subject is, and the subject did what? He said to him. Dative, singular, masculine, third person pronoun. Actually, if you would get this in English, the Jesus, he said to him, is the way you would line it up in syntax in English. All right? The Jesus, he said to him. And the word he said there is third person singular, second aorist indicative active. And that comes from Lego, even though it doesn't look like Lego. Okay? Both. All right? Look at that word chi there. Chi is usually a conjunction, but here it's a cumulative particle are almost a particle of affirmation, okay, which means yes or both, putting things together. Both, you have seen him. Yes, you have seen him, or both you have seen him, and the one speaking. That word horakos there is second person singular, perfect indicative active. That comes from horao, and that means to see with your eyes. He couldn't see before. He could only hear. But now he has seen him. All right? You have seen him and the one speaking. Look at that word there, lalo. Lego means I speak, in it, which means puts words together and line them up to where somebody else can understand you. But lalo means that the Messiah, King, Jehovah of the Old Testament, is using human language today to speak to you. Laleo. That's what this term is using. That he's speaking to you through a human person. That the fulfillment of Genesis 3:15 is here. That the Son of Woman in the book of Enoch has appeared. That the King of Israel is really here, and the King of Israel has really made you see. There's a lot to this. and the one speaking with you, Echinos, that one, he is. I'm talking to you, I am the King of Israel, and I am the Messiah. I am the HaMashiach. I am the one that was supposed to come. I am Jehovah in the Old Testament, and Jehovah means what? The one who shall become. Simple as that. 9:38. Isn't this beautiful? The book of John is just so fantastic because it brags on Jesus all the time. I like that. They told me when I was a young preacher, they said, if you run out of anything to say, just get up and brag on Jesus. And I have done that quite a little bit in my life. And I never go wrong doing that. 9 and verse 38. Hode ephe. Pistuo kyrie kai prosu kenason. Alto. And this is a beautiful sign of belief now. I think probably everyone in this room has been saved. They come to a point in their life where they ask the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive them of their sins and cling to Him and ask Him to save their soul and ask for forgiveness. And it's a real joy, isn't it? And the first thing you want to do is say, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. And guess what He does? And the one He said, third person singular, second aorist, indicative, active, that comes from phikeme. That means to stand words together. Okay? And He said, I believe. First person singular, present indicative, active. I believe and I will continue to believe. Lord, Master, Messiah, Jehovah, Adonai. And He worshipped Him. And He worshipped Him. He did obeisance to Him. He fell down on the ground and grabbed Him by the feet and kissed His feet. That's exactly what that means there. That's what we should do. We should learn to kiss our Lord's feet. You know, the foot is the thing that walks out in the dirt and you take through the... That's over there in the Middle East, when you walked into somebody's house, your feet were filthy. Because you've been walking in these dusty streets and everything. And the first thing they did was supposed to was wash your feet for you because your feet were filthy. Now, Jesus is walking around with filthy feet and this guy jumps down and bows down and grabs him by the feet and starts kissing his filthy feet. He didn't have to wash his feet for this man. There was a woman one time. Actually, there were two women in the Bible that anointed Jesus before His burial. And at least one of them, now, these are figures of speech and these are customs of those people of the time. The one woman, now, you have to remember that Jesus was in a Pharisee's house. It kind of gives us a double image of this. But those tables that they sat at, you know, we have the idea that they sat in chairs up the tables like this. That isn't what happened at all. They laid up the table, and this table was like a short coffee table. That's all it was. It had a lot of food on it and stuff. They passed the food back and forth, and they laid up the table. This was her head, and this was her feet, like this. And the guy out here, you know, was a big shot. I mean, that's not much for people. That doesn't look very good, but you see, got the idea. Okay. Anyway, they're up here, and they're leaning on their left arm, and they're reaching out there with the right hand, and they're eating food. And they're eating with their fingers, with their hands. And they're dipping their bread in bowls of different things, and eating meat or whatever they've got there to eat, vegetables or whatever. This woman walked up behind Jesus. Now, as it sets today, that's impossible when you're setting up a table. For a woman to get out underneath the table there and to do what she did. But back then, she came up behind him and it says she washed his feet with her tears and she dried his feet with her hair. Okay? Now, I'm sure she was crying. and tears were coming down her face. But back in that culture, in the world at that time, from the time a child was very young, every fingernail clipping that they ever had, they would clip the fingernails and they would put it in a little bottle. Their hair that they would comb out, they would put it in a hair bowl. And they would take their hair and they would braid it very intricately, sometimes with silver and gold. And they would make placemats out of it or little towels or whatever. And every time a wedding had taken place, the woman would take her tear bottle and she would cry and she would catch her tears in it. And she would stop them up with a little stopper in this bottle. Okay? Every funeral that she ever attended, she would catch her tears. And that this bottle represented all the joys and sorrows in her life. Whenever she was hurt or anything, if she cried, she caught her tears in this bottle. And that bottle of tears was buried with the woman. Her fingernail clippings and her hair blanket, whatever she had made out of her hair, was very precious to her. And they buried that with her in her esophagus. All right? This woman didn't care about anything that happened in her life. She also had perfume that was very expensive that would cost over a year's wages. And she washed his feet with her tear bottle and probably with her tears. And she dried his feet with the blanket that she had made out of her hair and probably with her hair too. And she anointed his head with this oil because she worshipped him and she was forgiven. And they griped about that, remember? You let this woman touch you. Yuck! You couldn't be a very good man if you let that woman touch you. Well, I'm going to guarantee you, when that woman got saved, she had no sin. She was no longer a sinner like she was before. She was forgiven. And she was better than the Pharisees in the house. He said, she washed my feet with her tears and dried my feet with her hair, and you didn't even offer anything when I came into this home. You were not even respectable to me whatsoever. You didn't have the common courtesy to wash my feet or have one of your servants wash my feet. Yet she washed my feet with her tears. That were the most precious things that she had. That represents her children. If they were born, it represents that. If her mother and father died, if her brothers and sisters were born, any time they got married, any time anybody died, that emotion was in that bottle. So that's what it was all about. All right, 9:39. Kai epain ho esus ace krima ego ace ton cosmon tuton aelthon hina hoi me blepontes bleposin kai hoi blepontes tifloi genotoi genotai. And he said to Jesus, unto judgment, I unto the world, this I came. In order that the ones not both seeing, they may see. Alright? This blind man was seeing. But, now that word kai there, you can translate that but just as easily. See that right there? It says and, but you can just write it out and put but in there if you want to, because this is what it means. This is a strong adversity conjunction. But the ones seeing blind, they may become. Blind they may become. The ones seeing, the ones that thought they could see, and they were the teachers of Israel. They were the religious leaders of Israel, and they would not see. They refused to see. And they sealed their doom. They sealed their doom. And this man sealed his eternal destiny to be with Jesus Christ. 9 and verse 40. Akuson, ek tu pharision, tauta hoi met autu, ontes kai epon autu, me kai emes tu flon esmen. These guys are guilty rats. And they heard out of the Pharisees, some out of the Pharisees. What does the word Pharisees mean now? Pharisees. It comes from the word, it's a Hebrew, Aramaic, Chaldee word. Pharisees. In the days of Phileg, the earth was divided. It means to set apart and to divide. They were so holy that they were separate from everybody else because the average common Jew could not meet their standards. And they heard, the ones out of the Pharisees, they heard these things. The ones with him being. They kept following around and they kept hearing Jesus talk. They didn't want to leave him alone. They were bird dogging him. They were like hounds on the trail. And they said to him, "Mei kai hemes, not also we blind, are we? Are we blind?" Yeah, they were blind. They were sealing their doom. They were sealing their blindness. They did not want to hear. 9 and verse 41. Epain, altois, hoesus, e tifloi, ete, uk on ekete, hamartion, nin de legete, hote blepomen, he hamartios, emon mene. I want you to go back there in this period of time right now. I want you to go into the audience here and see what's happening. Jesus is using everything under the sun to convict them of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. And he's lambasting them with the Word of God and with his words. And he said to them, to Jesus, "Since blind, you keep on being." See that word A there? That's a first class conditional particle. Alright? It's a conditional particle in the first class. Condition determined as fulfilled. The condition is determined as fulfilled. So it's since. Now what causes that condition to be determined as fulfilled? Go back and tell in this verse and tell me why. Cindy, you remember why? Alright, Brother Roger. How come this is first class conditional and not a third class, a second class, or a fourth class? All right, let's go do this. All right. Go back up to the first word, a pain. That word, and he said, third person singular, second aorist, what mode? Indicative mode. The indicative mode of that verb tells you what this one over here is. All right. And the next one, over there. Ate, ye kept on being. Second person plural. In perfect, what mode? Indicative mode. That indicative mode tells you that's what rules what case or what class of condition that is. And these are in the indicative mode. If it was a subjunctive, it would be a third class conditional at least. Optative, something else, whatever, you know. And he said to them, to Jesus, "Since blind, ye keep on being, not would you keep on having sin." All right? Now, that one's a second class conditional particle right there. A little bit different. See, he used one, A and on. Second class. Condition undetermined with definite prospect determination. All right? Now, all right? "But ye say that we see the sin of you, it remains upon your heads." It will never be sent away. You will never have another Yom Kippur ever. You will never have another Day of Atonement. It's nullified. You are sealed in your sins. You will never walk off forgiven ever again. Period. You're done. You sealed your doom. That's what he said to them. Now, what do you think they might want to do, Christine? Kill him! That's right, kill him! They wanted to kill him. Either a sermon will either convict you of sin, righteousness, and judgment come to the point of repentance, or it'll make you mad and you want to kill the preacher. Isn't that right? I'm never going to go hear him preach again. Never, 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 never. Not going to do that. I'm not going to do this. I'm mad. Yeah. Well, they were mad. And they wanted to get even. He had called them everything, so they were going to go out and they were going to hire people to be false witnesses against him in the Supreme Court, which we call the Sanhedrin, which was illegally assembled. Period. 10 and verse 1. This is a beautiful chapter. The parable of the sheepfold. The parable of the good shepherd. Jehovah Roeh. Psalm 23 and verse 1. Before we do anything else, let's go to Psalm 23 and verse 1. Psalm 23 and verse 1. Psalm 23. By the way, what does the word psalm mean?
Psalm.
What does the word psalm mean? What's it literally mean?
Psalm.
The 23rd psalm. What does the word psalm mean? What? It means song, but it means more than that. Let's get back to the root. Let's get back right down to the root. What does it mean? It means to pluck and make a sound. Like on a harp or a guitar or something. That's what it means. It means to strum or to make a sound, a beautiful sound. Okay? Psalm 23. Right here, John, the 10th chapter, is Psalm 23 of the New Testament. And Jehovah, Jesus, is going right back there and bringing them. He's bringing Psalm 23, which is basically a prophetic psalm also. Okay? It's prophetic. Because it's telling, David is telling what he wants to find in his Messiah, King, Shepherd. And he knows that his Messiah, King, Shepherd will lead him all the way to heaven. And this is David's idea of heaven. Okay? Now, David's not in heaven yet, but he knows he's going to be. All right? He knows that, all right, the psalmist shepherd. Now, David played a flute, and he played a harp. And all these things. He played these instruments. He was a great musician. And this is one of the greatest songs that's ever been written. And John, the 10th chapter, is a counterpart to this. Psalm 23 tells us what Jesus is going to do in the New Testament. It's fulfilled in the New Testament. What does it start? Well, how does it start? The Lord what? Jehovah is my shepherd. And then John 10 says, and Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. Okay? This is prophecy of what Jesus would become. What Jehovah will be our shepherd. He will lead us into eternal life. Alright? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. And I told you a story the other day that a sheep will not drink from rushing raw waters. They won't do it. They'll starve to death. They'll die of thirst. They'll run from it. When it's good water, but you have to give them quiet water. You have to take out of a running stream and put it in a pool where they'll drink out of it, or they'll run from it because they're afraid of it. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. He keeps on giving my soul life. Given my nephesh, my soul, life. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and would Jesus walk through the valley of the shadow of death? Would the people walk with Him? Back away they did. I fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. The rod and Thy staff. Two things. The rod and the staff, and they were different ones. One of them was like a chicken catcher. You have a chicken catcher down there? Christine, how many of you know what a chicken catcher is? You know what a chicken catcher is, Mike. You lived out there in that country by me. A chicken catcher looks like this. It's a wire like that, and it's got a handle on it. Okay? And the shepherd's rod is like this. Okay? That's for shepherd's staff. Now, a chicken, you grab him by the foot. All right? Now, the shepherd's rod, some of them would grab him by the feet, some of them grab him by the head. And they would catch him because they were getting out of line and going the wrong direction. And they would catch him up like this, and then they'd take the rod and hook their little bottoms with it. Sheep are like children. They need whooping every now and then. They just need, they thrive on good whoopings. Because they, and whip them back in line. get them back in line. So that's what the rod and the staff were for. Okay? Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You do prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And why will we dwell in the house of the Lord forever? Because of what Jesus did for us. That's why. That's the only reason. Because of what Jesus did for us. Now, John, the 10th chapter, it starts out with Amen, Amen. How far back does the word Amen go, as far as we know, in the human language? Huh? Persian. And it went into Chaldee, and it went into Hebrew, and then it came into Greek, and then it came into English. Didn't translate it. It just means most affirmatively. It means to prop up. Like a tent pole. You can take a piece of cloth. If you don't have tent poles, it's all it is a mat. But the tent poles will hold it up. If you have ever been in the Middle East, you'll see all these sprawling tents. That would be nothing but a sprawling mat if it wasn't for the tent poles. And what the word Amen, it means a tent pole. That's what it means, a prop. To prop up. And of course, when you say Amen, it means you're going to prop up or you're going to stand behind what you say. Onomate, in Greek, it means a signature or your name. All right? I think in Spanish it's Fermin. Fermin, Fermin, that's a signature. All right, when you write that down, when you sign something, it means you will stand behind it. When Israel was standing at the foot of Mount Sinai, and Moses came down, and he read the law to them, every time he read a law, they signed it with their name, and they said, Amen. Everyone, once. Jesus said, Amen, Amen, most affirmatively, absolutely, this is going to happen. This is sure. You lied to me at Mount Sinai, but I'm not lying to you now. Every time I read a law and you said Amen and signed it with your voice and your soul, that's what you do. Every time you say a prayer, you say Amen at the end of it. And you're signing that with your soul, with your nephesh. In Jesus' name. Isn't that neat? We have that ability to call God Father, and we have that ability to call upon Him in Jesus' name, and then we can say, Amen. I will stand on it, and God will stand on it for sure. Because He said right here, Amen, Amen, Lego Himin. Amen, Amen, Lego Himin. Ho me eis erkomenos. Dia teis Theros. Ace, tain, alain. Ton, probaton. Alla, anabino. Alla, kothem. Ekinos, kleptes, esten, kai, lestes. Truly, truly, I say to you all, the one. Okay, ho there. What number generating case? What is that? Ho. What is it, Cindy? Nominative singular, masculine, definite, or anytime you see that, that's it. All right, we know what case that is. All right, the one acting. And I say to you, the one not entering into, not having entered into, not entering into through the door. Now, we have a shepherd. We have a sheepfold here. How many of you ever been out in the country where they have sheepfolds? They have one out there toward Taft. Let's look at it just a minute. Now, a sheepfold is a place to protect sheep. And this is what it looked like. It would be very large many times. And around here is a rock wall, usually. And on the rock wall, they plant thorn bushes. And raspberry. By the way, the burning bush on Mount Sinai, what was it? What kind of bush was it? It says in Hebrew. Huh? A blackberry bush. It was a blackberry bush. How many of you ever seen wild blackberries? They're thorny. Very thorny. Okay. And by the way, on St. Catherine's up there, they still have Sinai means the place of the thorn bushes. Did you know that? The place of the thorn bushes. That's what Sinai means. And so they have a lot of wild raspberries and blackberries on Mount Sinai. And there at St. Catherine's, which is maybe the true Mount Sinai, I'm not saying that for sure, but it goes way back in period of time. There's an ancient library there where they always looked upon this as the real place. I'm not saying there's like 26 Mount Sinai's. Okay? I'm telling you that. But this one here goes back in historically, and there's also raspberry bushes up there. And they got one right there at Sinai, and they said that's a raspberry bush that kept on burning and didn't burn up. Okay? A lot of times in the mountains, how many of you have ever seen wild roses? All right? Wild roses and wild gooseberries. What? And they will just spread all over. And what do people do in the areas where they have canyons full of wild roses? They get up there in the late summer and they set them on fire and try to burn them up because it burns the back of it. You can't even get cattle through them or whatever. And they're, but you never kill them all. But this bush just kept on burning. Tumbleweeds and thorn bushes burn up. But this one kept on burning. Okay? Kept on burning. Well, they would take all of these thorn bushes, raspberries, blackberries, everything, and you couldn't climb over this thing. I mean, you had to tear a lot of thorns down to get in there. But sometimes they would take heavy blankets and throw over the wall and climb over those heavy blankets. Or skins of animals that would defer the thorns. Now, a wild animal couldn't get in there, could it? It was not going to throw any blanket or whatever. Only a thief. A con artist or something would come and do this. You know, humans. They'll throw blankets over there. And here in the front here, now these were large sheepfolds. Sometimes more than one shepherd would take his sheep in here. Because this is the place, there's wolves, there's lions, there's coyotes, whatever, you know, jackals out there, and they're going to kill sheep. So at nighttime, they would let them go out and graze. During the daytime, they'd follow the grass, and all over they had these sheepfolds. Well, sometimes two or three shepherds would take and put their sheep all in one of these. And the shepherds would lay in the door. They slept in the door. And they kept their rod, their staff, and their slingshot, a knife, or whatever, here to protect the sheep. Okay? Now, that's what you're dealing with when we're reading the story of the Good Shepherd. Okay? You have to have this background or you're not going to understand. Simple as that. Truly, truly, I say to you that not entering into the door right here, the only thing that's open, all the rest of the thorn bushes, and anything, if somebody goes over the wall, he's a thief. Okay? The one entering into the door, unto the fold of the sheep, but going up another way, over the wall, that one is a kleptase. He's a kleptomaniac. You know what that means, kleptomaniac? That's a word, that's a medical term that comes right out of Greek, kleptase. He's a thief. He's a habitual thief, he is. And a laistes. He's a robber. He's an open plunderer. A highwayman. 10 and verse 2. Ho, de, acercomenos, dia, tes, theros, poimen, Eston, tone, probaton. All right. But the one. Look at that one. Ho there is what? What number, gender, and case? Nominative, singular, masculine, definite article. And what is ho describing? Eis erkomenos. The one entering into. Entering into. All right. Through the door. The one entering into this door, legitimately, with permission, shepherd he is. That word shepherd there means to protect and to watch over. The word is roe in Hebrew, which means to watch over. Okay? To watch, to guard. The shepherd he is, the of the sheep. All right? Jehovah roe. Jehovah Roe, Psalm 23 again. Going back to Psalm 23. 10 and verse 3. Two toe, pole, three roe ras, anoike, kai, ta, probata, tais, phones, alto, akue, kai, ta, idia, probata, phone, kat, onoma, kai, et, Age, Alta. Now they take the sheep in to the sheepfold at night. Okay? Now, we're talking about several different shepherds. And the shepherds would take time or shifts laying in the door. Okay? These are the legitimate shepherds of these sheep. And they would lay in the door. They would all be around here, but one of them would lay right in the door. He would put his life up. If a wolf or a lion or a jackal would come in there, they had to go through him. Okay? This one, the doorkeeper, he opens. And the sheep of the sheep belonging to the voice of him. You know, the sheep know their master's voice. They know the shepherd's voice. He talked to them, sang to them. The cowboys in the old days would go out and to settle the sheep at nighttime. They would ride round and around and around the herd of cattle, and they would sing songs, the old cowboy songs. And they were soothing songs. You know what I'm talking about, Brother Mike? They would sing these old songs. Old songs. Bury me not on the lone prairie. All this stuff.
My dad sang Whispering Hope. Yeah. Everything he did, it turned out to be Whispering Hope.
They would sing to these cattle to settle them down, and the shepherd would sing to his sheep. And the sheep hear the voice of him. And the ones of his own sheep, he calls according to their names. Every one of them is named. Every sheep has a name. If you go out to my farm, even my chickens have names. And he leads out them. He leads them. He calls their names, and they know his voice, and he leads them. Now, boy, Jesus is really laying some heavy stuff on these people right now. The ones that hear my voice, you people are not my sheep. You are goats. You are following the devil. You are goats. You're not my sheep. You don't hear my voice. My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. But you're not my sheep. You won't hear my voice. You don't want to hear my voice. Hotan. Ta, idia, panta. Ekbale. Amprosen. Alton. Poruete. Kai ta probata. Altu ekulete. Hote. Oidasin, tain phonain altu. When the ones his own belonging to him, idion. This is where we get the word idiot. Did you know that? Comes from idion. An idiot, they say, talks to himself. I must be one of them. Because I wander around talking to myself sometimes. But that's what... not quite like idiots that I've seen. One time, a long time ago, when I lived in Nevada, I came to Bakersfield and I met my mother down at Carl's Jr. And we went in there, and this guy was sitting there at a table for about four people. And he was talking to himself and over there and just arguing and cussing and going on. He'd sit in this seat right here, and then he'd get over here and he'd cuss back the other direction. And then he'd go over here in the other seat, and he would cuss back in this direction. And he'd get over here in this seat, and he was answering like four people were there. Now that is somebody that's got problems.
But he wasn't lonely, though.
He was not alone. Idion. That's what the word idiot comes from, okay? Idion. One's own. These are one's own. All he casts out in front of them. He goes out, and the sheep, after him, it follows. Each sheep follows him because they know the voice of him. All right? They know the voice of him. 10 and verse 5. Allotrio de ume akule thesusen. Allah fix onte off auto hote uk oidasin ton allotrion tain phoneme. A stranger, another one, a different one opposed to Idion over there, in opposition. Another one. This is a strong word here. It means opposed to the one that belongs to them and they belong to him. But no, not a double negative here. We have an adverb of negation and we have a particle of negation. Ume, akule susan. No, not they shall follow, and that means words. That word there means to follow and hear and obey. They will not follow a stranger, but they will flee from, like they're in extreme danger. Look at this word, fixante. Fixante. Third person plural, future indicative middle. They shall flee for themselves, like they're fleeing from a cutthroat, a murderer. They shall flee from the extreme danger. As from a wolf, from him. How many of you ever heard the word waltzing Matilda? Huh? You know what that's really about? It's talking about a hobo over there in Australia. The hobo is going across sheep farms along the way. He's going across, and a hobo over there, he's a vagrant. He is a hobo. You know, a hobo, the one that just rides. He's a wanderer. He's on a walkabout. And he goes over there, and he comes upon this man's land. And he catches one of the young sheep, one of the young withers, and he slits his throat, and he's cooking him in his pot. And the sheriff comes upon him. And instead of surrendering, he jumps in the pond and drowns himself because he's not going to be arrested. That's waltzing Matilda. This guy that he's talking about here is one of these waltzing Matildas. He's waltzing. The Matilda was a sack and the staff that he carried over his back like that. He's waltzing, walking along, waltzing Matilda. And that was this is a free man. He's out there and he's living off of somebody else's sheep. So every now and then he steals his sheep, a John Buck. And he jumps in the billabong and he drowns himself so he won't be arrested. He'd rather die than be arrested. All right, because he doesn't want to be locked up. He wants to be free. All right. Another shepherd they will not follow because he's waltzing Matilda out there and he's going to cut their throats. And they know that he's not their friend. Okay. And they shall flee for themselves from him because not they know the other one, the stranger, because he's got a different voice. 10 and verse 6. Haltain, tain haromion, hepan, haltois, hoesus, ekinoi, de uk, agnuson, tina, hain ha, elele, haltois. And this is a paromion. This is what we call an allegory. A story that has self-explanation in it. It is a beside. We get the word confession. Homologia. Homologia comes from the same root as this. Then we have para homion. It means same, beside same. It literally it means beside same, beside exactly the same, like two twins. Looking at each other, like you and your daughter. You ever show her your pictures? Well, she probably remembers. This the allegory, he said to them, the Jesus. It means to throw something down that looks just like it. And these ones over there, those over there, but not they knew them. What they, which is, he spoke to them. They didn't understand. Those over there did not understand what he said. Those people over there did not understand what he said. They did not understand what he said. All right, and Jesus in 10 and verse 7, he says, I am the good shepherd. Let's read this one more verse. Epein un Paulin, ho Jesus, amen lego himen, hote ego eimi, he tiro, ton probaton. Jesus, over and over and over again, is affirming his deity, that he is Jehovah God. And he said, therefore, again, the Jesus, truly I say to you, that ego eimi, I am the great I am of the Old Testament, and I am Jehovah of Psalm 23, and I am the door of the sheep. Not only am I the good shepherd, but I am the door for they find safety. Without me, they'll have no safety. And those Jews would not have any safety. Those Jews, you know, there was a lot of sicarii among those people, which were assassins. They went out and they were killing those Roman soldiers right and left because they didn't want anybody over them. They were proud people. They're still proud people today. They still haven't got rid of that pride. They still have that problem today. And that problem calls Masada. And every one of those people, instead of dying, they cut their own throats like the guy that jumped in the billabong. They cut their own throats instead of surrendering to the 10th Roman Legion. He said, therefore, again to Jesus, truly I say to you that I am the great I am, and I am the door of the sheepfold, and I am the door of the sheep. I am the one. And we came from... where did we start tonight? Where was it, Penny? 9:33 to 10 and verse 8. Do you have any questions? This is a absolutely a beautiful, beautiful. Well, all of the book of John is beautiful, but this is a most beautiful, polished, shining diamond of a chapter. Sharon.
Well, I'm thinking about your description of the sheepfold, and you know how people, when they pray for people a lot, they say, "Lord, place a hedge around
yes,
this person."
That's exactly what you're talking
about. So that is that protection.
Yeah, that's what the hedge that Jehovah God had around Job, too, wasn't it? He could only touch him in certain ways. You can touch his health, but you can't kill him. You can take what he has, but you can't have him. See, remember, that's a hedge. He removed them, some of the hedges. All right? So that's what he's talking about, hedge. Do you have something, Christine? No? Montana, do you have a question? You know what a first-class conditional particle is now? That's sense. All right. What determines that? The mode of the verb. All right. Brother
Noah. This whole saving the tears and the hair thing, is that something just the Israelites were doing, or were the other people groups in that area doing the same thing?
Women did that in early America, too. This was something that women did. If you go into some of the old museums, I think maybe even out at Pioneer Village, if you go in there, you will see a vanity, a dresser with a mirror in front of it, and you'll look over there and there will be a bowl with a little hole on top of it. That's a hair bowl. And women would comb their hair and put their loose hair into that hair bowl. And the movie The Outlaw Josie Wales, how many of you have ever saw that? The Outlaw Josie Wales with what was his name?
Was it Clint Eastwood?
No. Yeah, Clint Eastwood. The woman that became his wife later on in life, she would catch this and she gave him a watch fob made out of her hair. Women did this. And that was something, whoever did the research of the movie got it wrong. The women would make, especially watch fobs, or some little type of braided cords of some, and even the little blanket type things, the little placemats out of their hair.
It's open. Their fingernail clippings for.
Even American Indians did that. They saved their fingernail clippings because that was part of them. It was part of that part of their life.
But what did they do with them?
They just saved it. Sentimentally. Because this fingernail clipping when I was 1 year old, this fingernail clipping when I was two, this one when I was three, and all this kind of stuff, you know, this is what, you know, this is what they did. Very sentimental. All right? Very sentimental thing. You learned a lot tonight, didn't you? About all this stuff. Lots of little things. Little tidbits. All right? Anything else? Sharon.
Well, when I was a little girl and we lived in Egypt, they had clear bottles.
Yes.
They had these itty-bitty little bottles. And,
they had a little place where it fit right up against your face.
Yeah, it's just a tiny little thing. And there, we lived in an apartment house, and in the apartment house next door, somebody had died. And so they actually hired the wailing women for
yes.
a whole bit for 2 days. And I guess they saved their tears. I mean, it was this whole... I mean, I was just little. I was
a very emotional time.
Yes.
Mourners.
But the whole idea of saving your tears.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know where it is, but it talks about the Lord saving our tears.
Yeah. Each tear He will wipe away. Each tear He catches. Each one. Remember when Jesus, lost my thought, He was talking to His disciples, and He said that the Pharisees were like children in the marketplace. No matter what He did, He said, I piped them, and they would not mourn. And He said, I played the funeral march, and I played the wedding march, and they would not go along with it. The children would get out, and they would play like they were mourning, and they would play like they were going to a wedding. And they would get out and do these things, and they would be mourning and crying, acting like they were going to a wedding, and they would be crying and shouting and praising as they were going to a wedding. Funerals and weddings. That was two big deals. And He said, I piped, I played to you, and you wouldn't act, you wouldn't do it, no matter what I did, like a funeral march or like a wedding march, and you wouldn't respond. Okay? He wouldn't do it. Anything else? Nothing? Nothing? Yes?
Well, I'm just thinking, getting back to the blind man.
Yes.
I mean, originally, when they say, you know, who, the disciples were asking him, who's sinned? And he said, no one. It's like
no.
God might be glorified.
No. Read the book of Job.
And nobody wants to glorify.
But the Mishnah and Talmud were very strong influence. Even the blind man said, well, you know, we know that God doesn't hear sinners. But where did He get it? From the Pharisees. And they got it from the Mishnah and the Talmud. They sat down and argue over every jot and tittle in the Old Testament and everything about it. That's all it is. They still do that today. The Orthodox Jews, which are basically Pharisees, the Orthodox Jews today are the Pharisees. The ones that are atheists, they are the Sadducees. They'll follow along, they'll go through religion, but they don't really believe anything. They don't believe in everlasting life or afterlife or angels, spirits, nothing. Okay? That's the Sadducees of today. Okay?
So they're more of a cultural identity rather than a spiritual?
Yes. And that's what the Sadducees were back then. And those are the ones that came to Jesus and said, this woman had five husbands. And every one of them died, which one's going to have her in the afterlife? He said, you err, not knowing the Scriptures. All right, you err not knowing the Scriptures. They didn't believe in eternal life. This is a joke. They were going to a Pharisee joke. I mean, a Pharisee, but a Sadducee joke to it. Can I turn you loose on the world yet? You ready? Montana, you're here studying with us, and you're home from you're our missionary in training. Would you mind coming up here and dismissing us in prayer tonight? Watch all those cords there.
Dear Lord, I just thank You for this day, and thank You we get to come here and learn about You. And I pray You'll just bless the rest of our day, and that You'll just help us to remember what we learned, and in Your name, amen.
Amen. Thank You, brother.